Welcome to I'm Obsessed With This, the Netflix podcast about the shows and films everyone seems to be talking about and why. As usual, we will be having spoiler-filled discussions of all titles, so check the show notes for timestamps in case you want to avoid them. I am your host, Bobby Finger, and I am joined today by writer and comedian Hallie Kiefer. Hello, Hallie.
Oh, hi.
And calling in from beautiful Los Angeles, or at least I assume it's beautiful today, is Ryan O'Connell, writer, creator, and star of the new Netflix original series, Special. Hello, you two. Hi. Hi, Ryan.
Hello, hello. LA's actually being a temperamental diva today. It's about to rain.
It's about to rain? Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's rained a lot this year, I feel.
Yeah, she has feelings this year.
So you had your beautiful super bloom, and now you have the rain. You're getting a little bit of both. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Did you see the super bloom?
I did. I just saw one video where someone was driving their car over it. By the time I caught it, there was the backlash of people visiting it all.
People drove. I didn't see that. People were driving their
cars.
Well,
they're like, don't pick the flowers. And then, like, there's just a video of someone just driving an SUV through them. I don't know where they were going. There was no road there. So I think that was my first and only foray. And it was beautiful, though.
Yeah, it was Ryan. Ryan, why were you driving through the super bloom?
Where were you going?
I know, and I don't even know how to drive. So it was my first time driving. Someone said, like, there's a parking lot we can go, or we can go in the super bloom. And I said, super bloom.
Right, there's no other car, so it's actually very safe.
Yeah, actually, it really, really worked.
Okay, that'll be the next, once a century super bloom. How would it, every 10 years, every 15 years? There will be some business
that's
like, learn to drive in the super bloom. It's extremely safe. Last time I was in LA, I was in a Lyft and we were talking to the driver because, LA, everyone talks in LA and it's like, sometimes fine.
It's shocking. I've only been to LA once and it was honestly, I had like a full book conversation with someone I just met. I'm like, wow.
We talked about the rain because it was raining a lot when I was there. And I was like, that's great because you just had all those horrible fires. Like, at least there's a lot of rain. And he was like, actually, he full on Debbie Downered us. And he was like, well, actually, that just means it's going to be incredibly well grown in spring and all of that's going to die in the summer. And then it's just going to be kindling for more fires.
Oh, my God.
So that's all I see when I see the super bloom now. I'm like, well.
Is he like a firefighter on the side? Like he knew
no,
all of
but
it?
He did say that when he was a kid, he loved setting fires
suburban
New Jersey.
Oh,
as one
God.
Does.
So again, I'm so sorry. We're talking about fires instead of Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Thank you for being on the podcast today. I know you called in. It's 3 hours earlier there.
Don't worry about it. I'm an early bird. It's all good.
What are you drinking? We always talk about the drinks on the show. That's such a stupid part of the thing. Hallie has an iced coffee with oat milk.
Right, which I felt like a real ass requesting, but boy, is it hitting the spot. So thank you so much, Bobby.
I love oat milk, and I feel like, Ryan, are there new milks in LA? I feel like you get the milks first.
What's the milk?
What's the newest milk?
There's a lot of different milk journeys that you can take. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something disgusting and say that I actually was doing low-fat milk up until 2 months ago. I know.
No. It's how
not
we were
right.
raised. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's not right, but it's okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I switched over to almond 2 months ago and never looked back. And then I tried oat the other day and I was like, not for me.
Not for you?
I like a coconut milk. To be fair, it does taste a little bit like coconut, which for some people, they'd rather drink, blood. I don't know.
I like a whole milk or an oat milk.
Mm-hmm. A whole milk. Okay, she's living her life.
I love whole. I hate half and half.
Oh, well, half and half.
I don't know if I could tell the difference.
I'm not really sure I know what that difference is.
Oh, you seem so confident. I believe you.
I think it's lower carb.
Mm.
I think half and half is lower carb.
That's what they tell us. If they tell us it's low carb, I mean
half and half. It seems richer, but it doesn't really do much for me. I don't enjoy it. What are we doing here?
I don't know. I'm just getting to know both of you. This is really a delight.
So let's move on to the part of the show where we talk about the things we watched on Netflix recently. Hallie, let's start with you. What did you watch recently on Netflix? Not counting your homework assignments. Just something else that you watched that you liked.
Oh.
Could be anything.
Other than my homework assignments, I finally watched You, which mm-hmm. everyone had enjoyed, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And I'm on board for all of it. I am concerned that we have now entered into a phase of TV where every show is about a sympathetic serial killer. Like, because I was like, don't let them find you out, And then by the end of it, you're like, oh boy, I guess I really root for the wrong.
He should have been found out.
Right. But I feel like we're at a point where we're going to come back out of that once we realize, like, we don't have any more serial killer stories. Like, we're going to, mm-hmm. sort of cycle back out of that. Mm-hmm. Still loved it. And I just pretty much just watch horror movies, any terrible horror movie, any good, bad, on Netflix.
What about you, Ryan?
Oh my God, with Netflix, let's see. I mean, I'm watching the new season of Queer Eye.
Mm-hmm. I have been watching, what have I been watching? All the Final Destinations over again.
Oh, yes. I just watched the first one. Loved it.
Yeah. You know which one I love? The last one.
And I don't think I saw that. What
Hallie.
Just give me the highlight.
Can
me
I
one
spoil
highlight.
It for you?
Spoil it
do you,
for me?
Do
yes,
you wanna
of
know,
course.
Do you want to know how it is?
It turns out it's a prequel to the whole season.
Yes.
Are you serious? That's yes. what it is? I literally just guessed that because I was like, what's the dumbest thing that could possibly be?
I saw
I'm kidding. I love that.
I saw the final, wow. the final Destination
love
2
it.
In theaters.
Absolutely love
had
it.
No, in 3D. Had no idea what to expect. And the whole time you're kind of like, why does, you know, this weirdo have a flip phone? Like, it like
oh,
weird little signifiers
it.
That it's in the past, but not enough to kind of make you go crazy because the 90s are hip again.
Exactly.
So you're like, oh, he has a flip phone. It's ironic. Or like, the fashions are a little dated, but also like, what is Bella Hadid wearing lately? Like, it all looks
right,
like
exactly.
that. And then they get on the
I
plane
die.
At the end of the movie.
No.
And they get on the plane that Devon Sawa gets off of.
Thank you for spoiling it, because now I will go back and I will watch all of them.
It's incredible. No, it's like when you realize what's happening,
it.
It's like, oh, we're going to Paris for our school trip in the final, you know, five mm-hmm. minutes of the movie. It's like this wonderful reveal, and then they blow up.
That's an M. Night Shyamalan style twist.
It really is, and I feel like people didn't talk about it enough. No one saw it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't think people were talking because nobody probably knew.
You gotta watch Final Destination 5.
I'm in.
1, 2, 3, all good. 4 is a little rough. 5 is. Maybe. Is it the best? Maybe.
Wow. All right. I'm in.
Hot take.
Maybe. It's very, very good. And then I was at a party a week ago, and the host had, you know how sometimes people put like a thing on the TV on mute?
I don't care for that. Yes, I've seen it.
I've never
Not
done
for
it.
Me.
But I've seen it, and they've had the Fifth Element on mute.
That seems like a wild choice.
And I didn't know a lot of people there, so I found myself watching The Fifth Element on mute.
Right, yeah.
The entire time. And then I went home and I was like, I gotta finish The Fifth Element with sound, as it was intended to be.
I was obsessed with Fifth Element, and I believe Gary Oldman is the villain.
He is.
For some reason, I had a weird crush, an absolute crush on him in that movie.
He has like a weird hairstyle.
Like a plastic toupee, sort of. Mm-hmm. Loved him.
Yeah. You have a weird crush on Gary Oldman. You love serial killers winning.
Yes, I am. I'm the target audience of Netflix, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. But we are here to talk about Special.
Mm-hmm. It's called cerebral palsy.
What's that?
Cerebral palsy is a disability resulting from damage to the brain before, during, or shortly after birth, and outwardly manifested through muscular incoordination.
A show written, created by... starring Ryan O'Connell, who's on the phone with us.
Ryan, I watched it all yesterday, and let me just say, I hated it. I'm kidding. No, I thought it was lovely. I did have that moment of like, what if I hate this so much mm-hmm. that I have to play
well, yeah,
it off?
Yeah, of course.
Frankly, I was like, most shows should be 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
or could very well be 15 minutes. Great cast. And also, this is Ryan, what I wanted to bring up to you, which I thought, being of a person, I'm assuming of a similar age, working for a company and going through an era as a writer where you are expected to mine all of your personal, the details of
your
traumas,
life. Yeah.
And I thought that, I just sort of I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how like, is that your takeaway now? Like, well, maybe not always a great idea, but ultimately, you know, I reach out to people. You know what I mean? Like, there was some good to it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that now?
I mean, it's so weird because I feel like the 2 years. I mean, I feel like I only worked at Thought Catalog like full time for like 2 years, which is LOL because I think in internet years it's like 20. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
That's true.
And I think that I'm so ambivalent about it because I think, you know, on one hand, it was a really exciting time and it was really cool mm-hmm. to be writing about things that no one else was really talking about. But it also became this like we created a monster where like it kind of morphed into something else, which was like. Viral hits. Like, what weird, like, aspect of my personal life has the opportunity to go viral, which is, like, honey, a lens where, like, you don't want to be looking through. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So it got a little, like, Zero Dark 30 at the end. But I think it came from, like, a good place, and it kind of evolved into something else. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
What was the first blog post you remember writing that you were like, wow, that may have been too much?
I wrote this post called Sleeping with a Slut, LOL. And
was LOL
I
mean, part of the thing, or are you saying LOL now?
The LOL is my abridged, my postscript. I was 24. I mean, honey, like, when you're 24, like, you have a rat poison brain. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, like, 100%.
Like, you just do. Like, do not disturb. Do not touch. So basically, like, I was sleeping with this guy, and he was really, really good in bed. And, like, when someone's really good in bed, it's, like, this kind of double-edged sword, which is, like, yay, but also, like, honey, like, where have you been? Like, and you feel self-conscious. You know what I mean? Like, you feel mm-hmm. very self-conscious because, like, you're not sure if you're delivering on your end of things. Anyway, so I wrote this post, and, of course, the guy was upset, which I was, like, so stupid. I was, like, what do you mean? I, like, didn't quite understand. I had no boundaries, honey. Like, mm-hmm.
Did
none,
you name
none.
Him in it?
No, no, no. I mean, I wasn't that psychotic.
Right. But I feel like there was a lot, you know what I mean? People would sometimes do that.
Yeah. Was that your most, like, Harriet the Spy moment? Like, did you ever write something that people got actually angry at you for?
Not really. But the thing is, like, with Thought Catalog, it took a lot of heat. But, like, the fact is that everyone was garbage. Mm-hmm. Gawker people were garbage.
Absolutely.
Jezebel, like everyone was trash. Let's not try to elevate anyone above anyone else. Like, everyone was just jerking each other off and getting each other's, like, intellectual cum on each other's faces. And, like, that's what it was. It was, like, a giant circle jerk.
As a woman, I swear to God, everyone I knew, you could find the most intimate details of their life all on XO Jane. I don't even know if that site paid. Or maybe it paid like $50 a pop. Like something you, I was like.
$50 on a good day, I would.
Yeah, I mean, for like something that's going to get traffic. The stuff that I would not admit if there was a gun in my head, people were just like, that's what it is now. So, I feel like I'm not nostalgic for that. But it is funny how we just don't have that in the matter of a span of a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the culture's changed completely. Yeah. But I will say, like, there were a lot of fun aspects of that time. There just was. Like, Kat Marnell's writing was incredible.
Right.
Like, the internet to me was, like, I remember it used to be, like, funny. Like, Tracy Egan Morrissey would write these truly lol posts on Jezebel that were so fucking funny. Slut Machine. Like
Lindy West.
Truly, yeah, Lindy West was hilarious. Like, the lols, like, flowed freely and
it was expected. Like, it was
miss.
Like, if you weren't bringing that material, then people were not going to read it. I was reminiscing recently about Video Gum and Gabe Delahaye, which for me, every post was hilarious.
Every post was like golden.
And then those, and once things change, like that is not, you're not expected to do that. And if anything, if you do that, people feel a certain way about it.
And then it was like Facebook news kind of changed everything. Like, people getting all their news on Facebook, like, destroyed all of those, like, very personal, just like funny blog sites.
Mm-hmm.
They could no
but
longer
you know what?
Exist.
You would see like the beginnings though of outrage culture, which is like someone would get like harvested. You know what I mean? Like, be like the new victim of the week, of like someone like the Justine Sacco or whatever, the girl who was like, I'm going to Africa. I hope I didn't get, like, so the public shaming would start, would begin. That was the origin. And it was really interesting. Yeah, people would just like, you know, devour someone, leave them for dead, and then move on to the next victim. So there was the seeds of that kind of like Salem witch trial vibe. But it was, I don't know, but it's still, overall, I think it was a more innocent time. I think the world was simpler. It was pre-Trump. And I don't know. It also felt very creative. Like, I remember, like, that, like in the beginning of Thought Catalog, like, one of the first posts I wrote was like what it feels like to get fucked in the ass, because no one had written about it before. And I was like, why is no one talking about this? Like, having anal sex is like truly incredible and insane and overwhelming and all these things. And like, why is no one discussing it? I don't know. It's like, I know that sounds stupid, but like, there was a lot to explore that had not been explored yet. You know what I mean? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That was the exciting part for me, was like being able to like challenge that and, you know, bring something new to the conversation. And it's like, and also, by the way, this is, again, lol, but like, this was 2010, which was before even Girls came out. So talking about being in your 20s, well, now it's like, are you kidding me? We're all like 36 and like trying to buy a house. But like back then, it was like a different time. Like, no one really was talking about, you know, being a millennial and what that meant. I mean, it's like, again, 2010, it feels like 40,000 years ago. But
no,
it was,
you're right.
It was,
it's tough. Changed so much. I almost feel like I feel like Twitter is sort of like the bastion of that, where people are like both overly a little personal and also trying to be really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, I'm almost done with Twitter. Like, I'm at a point where every day I'm like, I got to delete this because I can't take the onslaught. But also, like, Ryan, just it's like every 24-year-old has a rat brain. It's like, but also like 24-year-olds, like, they should be allowed to have rat brains. Like, they should be allowed to like spew things and like, and have, you know what I mean? Like, to mess up and like have these weird adventures. But because of the way the internet works, it's then preserved forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then people feel the need to comment on it. It's just unfortunate to be like, I don't know what like a 22-year-old would do now, but it's like that sucks. Like there was a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah, and I feel like because so many people were doing it, we're gonna have to find a way to just deal with that past at some point.
Oh,
like
yeah.
When we're all older, it's like
right.
You know, we all share this decade of nightmares that we shared online.
It is just
they're all
theirs.
There. Let's just overlook it. We've all grown. It's fine.
Right. Like that. I remember for me, I think maybe the jumping the shark moment is when that woman wrote for Jezebel about hooking up with her biological dad. And I was like, perhaps
wow.
It is the end of an era. Perhaps we've arrived at the end.
Yep. Yep, 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 yep.
Okay, you guys, listen up. I need viral content now. Samantha, remember when you told everyone about the unexpected orgasm you had during your abortion?
Actually, that was just to you, and it was in complete confidence.
Oh, my God. Oops. Okay, well, now that I've freed you from the shame of your secret, can you write about it?
So, Ryan, you worked at Thought Catalog, then you sold your book, I'm Special, and Other
yes.
Lies We Tell Ourselves, in, correct me if I'm wrong, 2015.
Yes,
and then
correct.
You took the, like, long, arduous process of developing a television show.
Yeah.
And I can imagine that developing a television show about a gay man with cerebral palsy is probably very difficult. Can you tell me a little bit about that process? Because, like, pitching a show is probably already a nightmare. And it's, like, it was probably a nightmare for Lena Dunham, who's like, I'm a white, straight lady. I want to write a show. Like, I can only imagine what it was like for you.
Yeah, it was a journey. Like when, like, there were people, like, weren't chomping at the bit initially because it was just, like, confusing for them. So,
mm-hmm.
like, so I went out with, like, I went out with a pitch in 2015 with, like, my gay mafia, Jim Parsons, this producer, John Ricci, who produced Comeback and 30 Rock, and my close friend, Craig Johnson, who directed the movie Skeleton Twins, and Alex Strangelove. And, you know, we did every pitch, and everyone seemed to really love it and respond. It went over really well. We had been told that some places were going to make an offer, and then one by one, they got cold feet. And you have to understand, like, 2015 was, again, a different time, especially in Hollywood. Like, people were just like, Broad City, insane Amy Schumer, women being funny, crazy. So, like, gay disability was like, babe, like, lol, like, what's that? Like, it just, like, was not, in terms of, like, the marginalized populations, it was, like, down the list. Like, so, you know, and so basically we ended up selling it to this digital branch of Warner Brothers called Stage 13, and they commissioned me to write the scripts. And partially also why it took so long was that I was writing for television shows, and so I was in a writer's room, and I was basically just doing this on the weekends. And then when I finished Will and Grace, I finished the scripts, and then we sent them to Netflix, and Netflix had never done short form before, but they really liked the scripts, and so they bought them. And I mean, it sounds really truncated when I'm telling you now, but like, it was four years of this will never happen.
Okay.
Like, this is never going to happen. Like, should I just quit? Should I just like not even write the scripts? Like, it was really, really demoralizing because it felt like we were just faced with all these roadblocks. And what I didn't understand was, like, I was trying to tell, like, a pop song. Like, I was, like, the pitch was basically, like Ryan seems unconventional because he's gay and disabled, and, like, there is specificity to that experience. But really, like, when you boil him down, like, the basic wants and desires of a human being are all universal. So, like, I'm not trying to make some, like, lo-fi, like, whatever, like, weird experimental show. I'm trying to make, like, Ariana Grande Sweetener, but, like, in a weird package. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is the show came out on Friday, and just the reaction's been so positive, and it's been, everyone's calling it like relatable and all these things, which is just, to me, that just means so much. Cause I just, you know, I've always known that my life isn't so fucking strange.
Yeah.
Like,
it reminds me to go back to Lindy West. It reminds me a lot of the response to Shill, the Hulu show.
Yeah. Shrill.
Shrill. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shrill.
Shill's a movie. Shill.
Shill.
but the show where it's like very specific, unique experience about like a woman who's a writer in Portland. I know plenty of people who watched that show and had no idea what it was, had no idea who Lindy West is, who were like, that was a great show, and have nothing in common with her. And I think that must be surprising to like the people who see it as such like an acutely like specific experience. And it must be satisfying to see like, hey, like we're all pretty much the same. Like we're all going through the same shit.
Right. Well, like what execs in Hollywood, especially at the network level, like the big like NBC, like with CBS, those things, it's like people are really scared to make specific kind of shows because they worry that people won't relate to it. So what they end up doing is they end up doling the edges, and then by trying to make it relatable to everyone, it ends up being relatable to no one because it doesn't resemble anything. It's just a pile of gibbity gobbity goop. So like they need to realize that through specificity you get to the universal aspects of the story. That's just like storytelling 101.
I don't know how they react, because I feel like my favorite part of the show is your relationship with your mom, played by Jessica. Is it Haish?
Hecht. Jessica Hecht.
And I think it was interesting. I was thinking about the pitch, because it's like, I feel like shows about young people, they're like, we want to be out dating and sex and like adventure. And it's like, and also about an adult gay man and his relationship with his mother. But that's what I want. Yeah. Like, especially as someone who is in my 30s, where it's like, yeah, I'm kind of over it. You know, like the 20s experience, I had it. It was great. And now I'm like, how can I have a better relationship with my parents? Like, how can I think about, you know what I mean? Like,
are my parents okay? I hope they're okay.
How can I learn about them as people before they die? You know what I mean? So for me, I was watching it, loved it. I don't know. It was almost something where it's like, I don't know maybe that's my question is like, how did you have to sort of like sneak that part in the back, or were you very upfront about the pitch being like, and a big part of this is like this intense, complicated relationship
between
your mom, in part because of your disability?
Yeah, that was definitely upfront. So like, listen, if you like are lucky to emotionally mature at a healthy rate, you become less interested in yourself and you become more interested in other stories.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, honey. And like, believe me, I had OD'd on myself through Thought Catalog. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like she needs to go. I was really interested in telling a story of firsts and like what that would look like through the lens of a 28-year-old gay guy with CP, and what would that look like with a woman in her early 50s, because they're going through the same experiences but at wildly different phases of their life. And I thought that was so interesting. I just like I thought, oh, what an interesting vantage point, these two different kind of these interest, like, you know, I don't know. So it was really important to me that it almost play like a two-hander, and you see Ryan and his mom go through very, very similar things but react to them differently, because obviously they're in totally different stages.
Do you feel like it's similar to your relationship with your actual mother, or was this something that felt like something unique or like different from that?
Yeah, no, it's definitely based on me and my mom. I mean, my mom is like, this show was definitely like an exercise in wish fulfillment, because my mom has always put herself last. She's like the most selfless person I know. And I've always been like, God, like what would my mom do if she actually like asked herself, like, what is it that I want? Because I don't think she's ever asked herself that. And so this was just sort of like, I got greedy and I just was like, I want to make a show about this, because it makes me sad that my mom doesn't really like look under the hood and kind of think about her own wants. So yeah, it is very much based on my mom. But I would say that Jessica brought her own kind of brand of kooky warmth to the role. Like I think like as a writer, what you hope for is that an actor will come in and do something completely different for the part than you imagined.
It's a really lovely performance. And that was one of the things I didn't know. I knew it was about you. And so to see like your character's mom remain such a essential character, the thing was really satisfying and surprising to me. I was like, oh, she's a huge part of the show. That was entirely unexpected to me.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. I mean, it's such an interesting story to tell. And again, like, I'm like, it's really a whole show about me? Like, I'm bored. Also, Mama needs to rest.
I didn't realize that she was Susan from Friends.
Yeah, she's Susan and she's from Friends.
Paul Giamatti's ex-wife from Sideways.
Oh,
she has like
yeah.
one really sad, a couple sad scenes, but like really sweet scenes. And I had just rewatched Sideways, so I was like,
Christ,
oh,
I haven't seen it. It's probably on Netflix.
I don't think it is, actually.
She's incredible.
Get on that.
I wanted to ask about, to go back to gay sex, I want to talk about the sex scene with Brian Jordan Alvarez, who is hilarious and wonderful in his own right. But that scene, a friend of mine watched special before I did, and he was sort of like live texting me through part of it. And he was like, there's a sex scene in this that I cannot believe that I'm watching this on television, let alone Netflix. And even knowing that going into it, I could not believe that I was watching it on television, let alone Netflix, when I got to that part. Like, did putting a gay sex scene so explicit, not just in terms of like nudity and, I don't know, thrusting, but like the little specifics of the act itself, was that a hard sell?
No, very easy. Okay. People knew that I had a gay agenda, a gay sex agenda. Mm-hmm. I'm really frustrated by the fact that gay sex has not been normalized and brought into the mainstream. I mean, I even go to like, you know, and there's so many gay comics now, which is incredible. But even like when they try an anal sex joke, like you hear like part of like the audience cringe and you're like, bitch, we're in West Hollywood. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, what is going on? Like, people are just still like TBD about a penis and a butt. Like, I don't get it. I just like don't understand it. So like, it was really, really important to me that we show Ryan Lewis's virginity and we do not shy away, because I've talked about it in like other interviews and stuff, but like I remember seeing Call Me By Your Name, and when they panned Away to the Moon, I was like, you must be joking me. I felt like we had been tricked, and I felt like as gay men, like, we're so starving for like any representation, like we'll take all the scraps, but like, honey, we got fucked with that. Like,
right,
we got
like the moon gets to
way.
Watch it and we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read a recent interview with, I don't remember who it was with, but you were like, yeah, we see Timmy Chalamet fuck a peach, but we can't watch him fuck another person.
Right.
Like, that's wild.
That's true.
That's
but
really
it's,
wild.
It's not okay. And it's like, I always looked at how girls kind of revolutionized straight sex in a way. And I was like, well, why has that not been done in, like, with gay sex? So it was really, really important for me that we show it naturally. And shooting it was kind of surreal because, I mean, I wrote that part for Brian. He's a friend of mine. And Brian is such a unicorn in the sense that he has no judgment, like, at all. Like, he's just, like, literally, like, a free love, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, if there's anyone that I can, like, get fake fucked on camera by, it's definitely him. And I was really nervous leading up to the shoot because, you know, this is, like, my first job acting. So, like, I'm going from, like, never acting to, like, literally in a cock sock, like, thrusting. You know what I mean? So, like, it was a lot for me. And Brian was just sort of, like, my gay sex scene whisperer. Like, he just, like, he was so incredibly generous and kind. And I almost feel like I watched that scene and it's almost like watching a documentary because, like, everything Ryan's going through, I was pretty much going through myself because it was so surreal to be acting this out. Mm-hmm. But I knew that when we shot it, I was like, this is something really unique and people are going to really respond to it. And I can't wait for season two if we get picked up because I want to go even deeper into gay sex and just, again, normalize it.
Watching that for me was like, I think, like, there's a lot in a comedy. You're sort of like only allowed to do sex if it's comedic, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So to me, having sex where it's like we're just having sex. Mm-hmm. This is not going to be traumatic. This is not going to be a huge, horrible, like, plot point. It's also not going to be funny. Like, we're not going to play this for laughs. Nobody's going to bust in the room. To me, it's like, we just do need more of that. Like, yeah. It's like, especially with like male nudity, I feel like it's always played for laughs. It's always supposed to be like the punchline. So it was refreshing.
It was nice. And it was one of the shows, I feel like I talk about the OA all the time, but the OA also had like a gay character lose their virginity in a recent episode. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm like being a little overly judgmental, but I feel like gay sex and a lot of things is presented as this sort of like flippant, like these gays just need to fucking get out of town, mm-hmm. like and leave mm-hmm. the person's house. But it like both the special scene and the OA scene ended with like a conversation between these two adults. Like, it wasn't funny. It wasn't weird. It was just like, it was special. It was nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's like just like real life.
That was insane. Anal sex is insane.
Was your first time. That's so nice. I feel honored. You know, I've had a few clients with CP and you're by far the most limber.
CP? I have a pretty mild case. And I'm gonna have sex soon for free, okay? Just so you know.
I believe you. You're cute.
I don't know.
You don't need to know. Come here.
Not to go back too many beats, but I'm obsessed with the name Eggwoke, and I want to know where that came from.
Well, okay, so I initially called it Millennilol, okay? And no one could fucking pronounce Millennilol. It was like, because like people say lol, which is disturbing to me. I like don't understand. It's lol. And so people would be like, Millennilol, which doesn't work. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, we're like literally about to shoot. We were like a week out from shooting and they're like, we need to change the name. No one knows how to fucking say this. And then we were just like literally like at dinner and I was just like, I mean, look, I'm a pun machine. It's like a true disease that I suffer from that I wish so badly I could be cured from, but I think it's terminal and like forever. But actually that's contradicting itself. Anyway, but so egg woke just came up, I don't know, from my brain while eating like nachos and queso and margaritas in Austin. So I think it's something that actually could be like the name of a website. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I could actually see it. Like, you know, I don't know. Like,
I can
it
see
feels
it.
Real.
the line that your boss has where it's like, okay, like, sweeties, you gotta write something viral. It's so absurd, but it was taking me back to blogging. Mm-hmm, and I was like, that may never have been said to me, but that was definitely implied to me. Where it's just like, it was actually sort of traumatic to rewatch that. But I also sort of missed it.
It's only through that pressure that you did write those things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if it had been up to you, you'd be like, I'll get around to it. But you never would have actually put it down, you know?
But before I let you go, I wanted to ask a final question. You sort of alluded to it recently. But what are your goals for a second season? Like, where do you think, where do you want the show to go if, in fact, it does get a second season?
I definitely want to keep, well, this is like a spoiler, obviously, but Ryan and Karen have a huge fight at the end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important for me that they stay separated, that it doesn't get resolved immediately. Because, like, I mean, think about family rifts. Like, literally, like, someone doesn't talk to Uncle Joey because he, like, literally gave them the wrong look while they were serving cherry pie in 1986 at Thanksgiving. So, like, literally, like, family rifts are very real. And so I think I don't want to resolve it in a way that feels, like, convenient or quick. Like, so I think I actually want to keep them separate, like, not in scenes together. I want to... So the thing that was most punishing about the 15 minutes, because I'm come from a half hour, and for season two, I would want to do a half hour. I wouldn't do 15 minutes again. And by half hour, I mean like 22 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Is that we didn't get to dive into Kim as much as I would like. Mm-hmm. And so, because it really was, when you do 15 minutes, honey, it's A story, it's B story. That's all you have room for. So for season two, I'd really love to give a real emotional arc for Kim. And I also would like to bring back Brian as like a series regular. I kind of look at the relationship between Ryan and Shay as almost like Dr. Melfi and Tony Soprano, where they kind of like exist on their own island.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something about that Shay that where Ryan feels very comfortable and very free to be himself and explore himself. And I just think there's something really unique about that relationship that I would really like want to dive into.
Well, thank you so much for chatting with us on the phone, and yeah. Good luck with the second season. Good luck with everything else. Enjoy the terrible LA weather and all the new milks. And everyone can watch Special right now on Netflix, all 8 episodes. But with that, I think we're done talking about shows for the week. Hallie, thank you for coming.
Bobby, a pleasure.
You're so funny.
Well,
I just can't control
me.
Myself when you're around.
I mean, yeah, you haven't seen this, but Bobby's torn this room apart during this. He just lost his god. It was like a bat was in this room.
As usual, call 754-CALL-BOB to share your current obsessions, and we might discuss it on a future episode. Call it. 754-CALL-BOB.
Leave
a voicemail. You gotta leave a voicemail. Then we can play him, okay? It'll be great. So thank you, Hallie. Thank you, Ryan O'Connell, for calling in. I know you're not there anymore. You're living your life. You're writing season 2, I assume. And we will see you in 2 weeks with another episode of I'm Obsessed With This.